Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Oh, yes. Yes, the world and the internet has been set ablaze by this very entrance music that debuted on WWE Backstage. And the world has absolutely lost their minds. Man, I miss this. I mean, just listen. Oh, I just get chills, right? You get chills. And so, yes, we are here to talk about CM Punk's return. And I use that word lightly, his return to WWE programming. And so we're going to get into that. What does it mean? Does it ever mean an actual in-ring return, which is what we're all looking forward to? That is the reason that we're excited. We're not just excited because, hey, CM Punk's back. We're all thinking, when do you get back in the ring? So we're going to break that down. And obviously, this is also a wrestling nostalgia day. And I skipped yesterday because I had a personal conflict. And so that's why I'm doing this today. But before we get to any of that, I want to thank you guys for joining me as we get back into the live show format. Not every show is going to be live, but in the event that we have breaking news, as we did a day and a half ago with Punk on Backstage, and in the event that, you know, somebody passes away, or even maybe after a pay-per-view, or really as I see fit, because, hey, this is my show, right? So why not? There's no safety net right now. This is not pre-recorded, so you guys don't get to see, or hear rather, a lot of the mix-ups and things that I shouldn't say, or redos or retakes. There's no safety net. It is live as live can be right now. So I want to thank you guys for joining me. And if you'd like to join into the conversation, you can. And all you have to do is call in at 516-531-9613. That's 516-531-9619. And once you do that, you just press 1. If you don't press 1, it'll put you in standby mode, and I don't know that you want to come on the show to talk. So if you are interested in giving your thoughts on Punk's return, and I use that term lightly, or you'd like to just comment on something else going on, by all means, just get on the phone, 516-531-9619, press 1, and then you'll get on to the show, and we can chat briefly about what you think about Punk's return. What do you think it means for him moving forward? So again, guys, this is the WWE Podcast. Thanks again for joining me, and you can catch me here. I don't know how often in terms of live shows I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to do it for the foreseeable future. I'll let you know when it's live, but everything else will be pre-recorded as always. And I know that many of you listen to me on demand, and that's great too, but you can also get an ad-free experience on patreon.com/WWE podcast. That's patreon.com/WWE podcast, and get a shout out on the show. I can do a video shout out. You can be even on the show, and we can do a podcast to whatever topic you'd like to, wrestling related. So there's lots of benefits there if you head on over to Patreon. And I know that many of you are taking advantage, and I appreciate it. And many of you listen there, and much appreciated as well. So guys, Punk's return. Punk is back in a teaser capacity. So he shows up on Backstage. Now, I want to preface this by saying that if you've been following any of the news stories coming out of WWE this last few weeks, you knew that Punk had been in talks with WWE about something. And it ended up coming out that he was, and Punk said himself that he was invited to be a part of WWE Backstage. And he accepted. And so this, while it's a surprise, shouldn't come to a surprise to a lot of people that had heard about these rumors anyway. But it was a surprise that he showed up on this particular show. And when even the hosts didn't know he was going to be there, like Paige didn't know he was going to be there. Booker T didn't know he was going to be there. Apparently, Renee Young was the only individual who knew that Punk was going to be on the show. So it was a surprise to everyone but Renee and probably a few select others. And this is, while Punk is not back in the ring yet, you cannot view this any other way than to say, hell yeah, he's back. And this is a step in the right direction to an in-ring return. There's just no other way about it. I just don't see how this ends in Punk not being in the ring somehow, maybe even as early as the Rumble or WrestleMania. I do not expect Punk to come back full time, nor should he. He should be on a very, very limited basis in the ring. WWE stole his joy from being a wrestler, and that was 6 years ago almost now. And we remember the promo or the podcast he did with Colt Cabana, the most infamous, probably one of the top three most downloaded podcasts of wrestling history, was that particular show with Colt Cabana. And it really paralleled what Jon Moxley said coming out about the company when he came out and went on Jericho's podcast. So we all know Punk's story about how WWE took the joy away from wrestling from him, and he just became miserable. He was hurt. The lawsuit, the missed royalty check, the whole deal we knew. And for years, we've been saying, when is he coming back? I want him back. He should come back. And now you have people calling Punk out for being a sellout. Well, wait a minute. Weren't you the same people talking about how you'd love to see him back in WWE, sharing in the rumors of when he's coming back, wondering, searching, hoping, and then he comes back again, I use loosely, and you have people saying, oh, he's a sellout. Well, you can't have it both ways. And I know that AEW was in talks with Punk, and CM Punk met with Tony Khan in person. And he was offered a large amount of money. Large. Again, we don't know what that is, but I'm sure it's in the millions for Punk to return on a wrestling basis. Now, with WWE likely getting a very healthy salary, but he doesn't have to compete in the ring on a regular basis, doesn't have to wear and tear on his body and become miserable on the road again. And at his age and his mileage on his body, I wouldn't want that anyway. As I said, this guy belongs in the ring, very limited capacity, WrestleManias, maybe one or two other matches during the year. I don't need him in a general manager capacity. All right. I know that many of you are looking, oh, well, what if he became the general manager? No. I don't need him being another Kurt Angle, another puppet that really ruined Kurt Angle's persona, character for me. So there's a lot to really look at here, a lot of angles. But to be honest, the one thing we all care about, when is Punk coming back to the ring? So if you look at the possibilities, I say, and many people are, oh, it's the Royal Rumble. No. How many times every year do we say, oh, so-and-so is going to return at the Rumble, or she's going to debut at the Rumble, like Ronda Rousey is going to debut at the Rumble? Why? You reserve the Rumble for your future. You reserve the Rumble for guys and gals that you view and deem as the future. If you're going to re-debut somebody as a surprise return, it's not in your best interest to re-debut them. Yeah, the crowd will pop crazy when the countdown from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and it hits zero and the buzzer goes off. And my God, can you imagine the roof blowing off at the place when Punk's music hits? But he's not in that part of his career to win the Royal Rumble. Let's face facts. Punk is not there to win the Royal Rumble. It would be nothing more than hot-shotting, but Punk would have to be eliminated. I just don't see him as world champion at this point. Again, I'm not saying it's impossible, but he's not at the point in his career where him being the centerpiece of WWE is what WWE needs. WWE needs youth. And yes, I would love to see Punk in the ring, but again, so the Royal Rumble I'd rule out. if you back up even sooner, though, I think there's a much more tempting, a much closer date in which we could say, wow, this could happen. And I didn't even realize it, unbelievably, until one of my co-hosts, Mary, said to me, she texts me, she goes, hey, Survivor Series is in the Allstate Arena. And I'm at work and I'm sitting there and I'm like, I literally dropped my phone. I go, holy sh, you know what? I don't know how we missed that. I guess because Chicago, while we assimilated with CM Punk, before this announcement came out, we thought of Chicago as, okay, well, it's the Allstate, it's Chicago, you know, good crowd. But I never went the other way and connected them backwards, because typically if we had saw that Punk came back on backstage and then we're told that Survivor Series is in Chicago, it would have been like, oh, duh, I see what he's doing here. I see what they're doing. But since it went in reverse, my brain isn't advanced enough to make that connection. So could he actually return at Survivor Series? That's tough. While I'm sure there will be a mass amount, an overwhelmingly loud CM Punk chant, probably before the show, probably during matches that the crowd doesn't really care for too much, and probably during matches that go long or during lulls of the show. But I just don't see how he fits in here. It would be a prime opportunity. He's, quote, back with the company, although his contract apparently reads with Fox, not with WWE itself. But WWE is in a contract with Fox to broadcast their backstage show on their network, and Punk is a part of Fox to be a part of backstage. So by default, he's kind of like a subcontractor of WWE. He's not directly involved with WWE, if this is, of course, true, that he doesn't have a direct contract with WWE. It's as if WWE has a contract with Fox and Fox has a contract with Punk, so he's a subcontractor. So those are my thoughts. So ultimately, do I think Punk is going to show his face at Survivor Series? I would say, if you're going to give a percentage chance to this, put a gun to my head, I'd say a 20% chance. Because I just don't know what he does here. I don't know what he does. Maybe he just comes out, doesn't get involved in anything, doesn't GTS anybody, just comes out, stands in the ring, and says, you know, something to the effect of, guess who's back, drops the mic and walks out. Crowd would lose their minds. That would be how I would do it, because then you're speculating, well, what do you mean? What does that mean? Is he back full time? Is he back part time? Who's he going to feud with? Who's he going to attack? Is somebody going to attack him? So you're going through all of these possibilities. So does it happen? I'd say a 20% chance, a 1 in 5 chance. I just don't think it's an overwhelming possibility. It could just be, frankly, coincidence that Survivor Series is in Chicago and Punk also happened to sort of make a return to WWE a couple of weeks before they have the show in Chicago at the Allstate Arena. But that's still not going to stop the crowd from losing their minds, from chanting for Punk, for being hot the whole night, anticipating, waiting, salivating for that music to hit. And does it? Does it? I really don't know. But again, my money would be on no. I want to see it, but my money would probably be on no. So, guys, if you want to join the conversation, 516-531-9619. Press 1 if you'd like to come on to the show. If you've already called in and you want to get on, just press 1 after you call the number and you'll get on. And on the switchboard that, hey, you want to talk about Punk or really anything else that's going on. So that's what's going on with CM Punk, guys. At least those are my initial thoughts. you know, it's hard for me to continue with this topic only because, you know, there's not a whole lot to go on here. You know, there's been so much anticipation and build and oh, he's going to debut in AEW that now that he's back, it's like, okay, well, he just said, I'll see you next week. So that means see you next week on backstage, I would assume. And from what I understand, he's not going to be a regular on backstage. But if this were all up to me, what I would do is probably have Punk just out of the blue debut on a program, on a pay-per-view. I wouldn't even have had him on backstage, which would have made it more of a surprise and made, you know, I think even got a bigger reaction. But WWE went to great, great lengths to keep even his backstage appearance a secret. Even an appearance, as I said at the beginning here, and they kept it a secret from the other three hosts with Renee Young. So, but it was great to see him back. That music is awesome. You know, I don't even know really. I don't even have a real big gut feeling, a real instinct as to who Punk would face if he came back in the ring. I don't know. I mean, if you guys have thoughts, tweet me. I mean, you can tweet me at the WW podcast. Let me know what you guys think. If Punk comes back in ring, or excuse me, when he does, because I think it's a matter of when now, that the wounds are starting to be mended between WWE and Punk. The wounds are mended. And I think that the rise of AEW had a lot to do with this mending of a relationship. Because without this mending of a relationship, and with AEW's rise, I don't think you would have had that reconciliation between the two parties. I really don't think you would have. Because it kind of forced WWE's hand, hey, Punk is a hot commodity. Punk would be a game changer. He would be a needle mover. Punk is a game changer. Punk isn't a guy that, you know, he's a good hand. He's one, you know, good guy from the indies, or he's kind of a WWE leftover that, oh, cool, you know, so-and-so's on here now. You know, I've missed them or haven't seen them since they were in WWE. Punk is an absolute game changer. And I think it's WWE probably bending over a little bit backwards to write as many zeros as they need to in order to not just make amends and keep him away from AEW, but honestly, WWE could use a shot in the arm as well. And yes, a big part of that was, we're going to probably do this, even if it's against our own intuition and hurt some egos. And hey, you know, I'm not talking to Punk. Look the way he left. Look what he did. That's 6 years ago. It's almost six effing years ago. It's time to move on. But they did the smart thing here in scooping up Punk. Punk doesn't have to wrestle full time like he, or at least on a semi-regular basis, like AEW would have wanted him to. So it's better on his body, better for his health, better for his family, which he's thinking about, and rightfully so. But I'm damn excited. And WWE keeping him away from AEW is smart on WWE's part. And here's the best part for all of us. We all win. We all win. Because like it or not, Punk or WWE is CM Punk's home. Would it have been cool to see him in AEW? Abso-freaking-lutely. It would have gave them a huge advantage in terms of star power, name brand, all of that. AEW would have lit the world on fire for as long as they could have with Punk's debut, but they didn't get him. It was a big free agent, just as you have in any other sport. When big free agents and big stars become free agents and they're no longer under a contract to a team, guess what? They get the big money. They have the leverage. They are the game changers. They get paid because they are the stars, even if they don't perform to the level that they may have in the past. You're paying for, you already know you're overpaying to begin with. In any kind of large contract with any star, baseball, basketball, football, you are going to be overpaying. But you do it to keep them away from competition. And that's, I think, what happened here in part. In part. So, those are my thoughts on Punk. And I'm really excited to see he's back. his music gives me chills. Now, every time that there's, you know, an event in Chicago, and maybe it is very well Survivor Series that Punk makes his grand return, says, you know, a sentence and leaves. I would say less is more in that respect. So that's what I would do. And maybe that's exactly what happens. And I hope it is. I hope Punk comes back at Survivor Series. WWE has a huge asset on their hands here. And if Punk gets the Brock Lesnar schedule, I would love it. Bring it. Bring it. So anyway, those are my thoughts on CM Punk. I don't want to rehash and repeat myself, which I tend to do as a bad habit. So if you guys are really interested, by the way, don't forget, call in 516-531-9619 and press 1 on your touch tone phone or your cell phone. Because does anyone even have touch tone phones anymore? Is that a thing? Or maybe I should say on your rotary phone, right? I mean, or your car phone. Did anybody have random thought? Anybody ever have those cell phone bags in your car when cell phones were like first a thing, like a big thing, and those cell phone bags cost a small fortune? I remember those things. Those things. I remember my parents had it, and my dad got it and thought it was the coolest thing that he could sit in the driveway and call my mom in the house from the car phone that was in the car with a bag. It came with a bag, and it, like, I think it charged from a cigarette lighter or something in your car. It was just, and it costs like $60 a minute or something bizarre. I don't know. A random thought. I haven't thought about that in a long time. But anyway, so if you have a car phone and you're sitting there in your driveway with a bag, a cell phone bag in your car, hey, you can still use those to call, although it's going to be very expensive to talk to me. Or you can just use your regular, you know, I don't know, cell phone that everyone has. I don't even have landline. But if you have a landline, you just press 1 and you can get on the show at 516-531-9619. If we don't have any calls, that's totally cool. I'll just continue on here with my normal show, which is moving on to a wrestling nostalgia segment here, which, you know, I have never covered the Nexus. The Nexus is a group that I have very rarely discussed. It is a group that I think was underutilized and I think abused at times. And yes. Do I think John Cena buried the Nexus? I will say that the short answer is yes, but the reasons why and how that came about are not solely from John Cena. John Cena is not solely responsible for this. I think a lot of this, and well, you could almost make the case the majority of this falls on Vince McMahon, of which all the creative flows through, and especially flowed through at the time that they debuted. They were a heel stable. They debuted on Raw on June 7th, 2010. Wow. And until I read that, because I had to go back and do a little research on this, because it's been a long time since I've seen the Nexus. But I remember that episode of Raw very clearly. Very clearly. So it was at the very end of Raw. And we had this group come in. And they felt like exiles. They felt like outsiders, like invaders. And I remember them interfering, and the announcers didn't know what to do. This is where Daniel Bryan choked Justin Roberts with his tie and got suspended and fired for it until Shawn Michaels brought him back. Remember that whole thing? Google it or YouTube it. It's hilarious to watch. Actually, it's actually really funny to watch. Really funny. And this is when WWE was PG for just under 2 years at this point, as they went PG in 2008. But when Daniel Bryan choked Justin Roberts, I'm sorry, it's just hilarious. You have to go and YouTube it. It's still out there, but WWE felt that that was too violent for the change in programming that they had made. So Daniel Bryan got fired, and it's just so funny to think about that now. So we had them debut, and I remember them tearing up the ring. I remember them like tearing up the ringside, ripping up the mats. It was a huge deal. It felt like, oh my God, what just happened? The announcers didn't know what to do. They stood there in shock. It felt very real. It felt fresh in a time that was a very stale product, where there wasn't the NXT that we know now. I say this every time, but we all remember the barrel races that was NXT. It was like Mark Summers and what was the game show he hosted? Double Dare. It was like Double Dare, but it was just renamed NXT. And that's what NXT used to be. Nothing more than kind of a joke of a spinoff of a game show. And then it became a little more serious. You had guys like Wade Barrett, who I think could have been a main eventer for a long period of time. I loved Wade Barrett's promos. I loved the way that he delivered it. I didn't think that he was outstanding in the ring, but certainly could hold his own. He had the height, he had the look, and again, the way he spoke was where his money was. I absolutely loved it. So we had this stable come in, and this is where the first true NXT invasion started, was the Nexus. And cool name, by the way. The Nexus, that's just a cool damn name, isn't it? The Nexus. I don't know. It flowed so well. It's not hokey. It was great. So the primary feud that they had, of course, was against John Cena. And this went on for quite some time. So again, during the main event that saw WWE Champion John Cena, he went against CM Punk, after the leader of the Straight Edge Society. Don't forget that CM Punk was part of the Straight Edge Society, which I think, if anybody remembers, I know I'm going counting about a tangent, but this is how my brain works. So, you know, I apologize. The Straight Edge Society, one of the most underutilized factions in WWE history. Seriously. Amazing group that the Straight Edge Society was. Yes, it was a little bit of RTC, right to center, with Stevie Richards and Ivory, if you remember, and Bull Buchanan. Everybody remember right to center? That was back in the Attitude Era. Really making a joke of the people that wanted to censor WWE for their content. So they made a whole story and faction out of that, which Right to Censor was, I think, also very good in terms of heel heat. The Straight Edge Society with CM Punk, led by Punk, was brilliant and was underutilized severely, I think. So, but again, the main feud for the Nexus focused with John Cena. And during the summer of 2010, the Nexus had a feud with Cena, and Cena was at first scheduled to face the Nexus in a 7-on-1 handicap match on the July 12th edition of Raw. And Cena attacked Darren Young the previous week and subsequently removed him from the following week's scheduled match. So it then became 6-on-1. So what John Cena's whole thing was, what his strategy was, and I remember this very clearly, was to take them out one by one by one, until there was just nothing left, and it was just Wade Barrett. So we'll get to that, of course, in just a minute, where really this whole thing ended with Wade Barrett versus John Cena. And I believe it was a chairs match where John Cena literally buried Wade Barrett. So we'll get to that too. So that was the strategy of John Cena. And by October of 2010 at Hell in a Cell, Barrett and Cena faced each other in a match that had the stipulation that if Barrett won, Cena would have to join the Nexus. But if Cena won, or any other member of the Nexus got involved, the group would have to be disbanded. So John Cena did not win, and it was interference from Harris and McGillicuddy. Interestingly, do we all know who Harris is? Husky Harris? Yeah, right? Think about it. You haven't heard that name in a while. Husky Harris, a.k.a. Bray Wyatt. And McGillicuddy would join the Nexus on October 25th, 2010. And as a reward, Barrett managed to win the match and keep the group going, and Cena was forced to join the Nexus. So the following night on Raw, Michael Tarver was paired with Cena. And actually, by the way, guys, I actually did an interview with Michael Tarver. I think it was 2 years ago. Maybe I'll rehash that and republish that. I did it under, I wasn't the WWE podcast at the time, but I was, I did have a podcast brand, and maybe I'll republish that. I just got to dig it out of the archives. Cool guy. Really cool guy. He's actually doing, last I knew, he had his own music album and was doing well for himself. And we discussed the Nexus, obviously. So this is where things kind of break down. Cena joins the Nexus, but he doesn't adhere to really the group's rules. Rather, they never really put in stipulation that John Cena had to keep his hands off the other members of the Nexus. So John Cena was a member of the Nexus, yet he still continued to take them out. So what was even the point of that stipulation, given that massive loophole, right? I mean, this is where little things break down. So as we move on down the line here in 2010, we had, oh my gosh, so this is, I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to put it like it is here. The Nexus was, in short, buried by John Cena. In short, he was buried. They were buried. But again, this can't all be put on John Cena. And I think John Cena did the best he could to try to get these guys over at times. I don't think it helped. I remember specifically on Monday Night Raw, and I don't have the date in front of me. We had John Cena stand there and make fun of every single member of the Nexus, as if The Rock would do it back in 1999. We had John Cena do it, calling Heath Slater the Wendy's chick. I remember that. We had him calling one of the guys, I'm trying to remember his name, basically implying he was gay. And imagine that in 2019, 8 years later, my God, people will be losing their friggin' minds. It's interesting that McGillicuddy and Husky Harris were part of the Nexus. But anyway, so we get to TLC on December 19th. John Cena defeated Barrett in the main event. And after the match, here's where things get literal and figurative here. At TLC on December 19th, I said that, John Cena and defeated Barrett in a main event. What happened was, after John Cena beat Barrett, he dropped 16 steel chairs from on the stage onto him after dispatching of the rest of the entire Nexus. So all of the momentum that the Nexus had, the potential it had to build new stars, several new stars, 6, 7, 8 new stars, including the leader of the Nexus in Wade Barrett, were all for naught, and nothing more than all sacrificial lambs for the almighty John Cena that was dominating the WWE at this time. John Cena literally buried Wade Barrett with 16 steel chairs. He hit some kind of rope and they all came, you know, tumbling down. You can YouTube that as well. I mean, so it's just funny that that is not just a figurative, but that is a literal burial of Wade Barrett. So yes, we had the new Nexus, but it never had the same feel as the original Nexus group. Never. And again, the Nexus is the whole point of the Nexus should have been to build new stars. It should have been to build the next generation of stars. That was the point of NXT at the time. It was a true breeding ground. It was a true farm system. Much different view now. But that's the purpose. And yet, who came out of this? Let me just give you the names. Let me give you the names of the Nexus members. Mason Ryan, Michael McGillicuddy, Husky Harris. Okay, there's one. But he never really was Husky Harris. We all know what he became. So I'm talking about the character. John Cena was involved, obviously. Michael Tarver. Remember him? Michael Tarver. I think I'm just not going to say it. Daniel Bryan, of course. Daniel Bryan. Biggest star that came out of this group. Skip Sheffield. Y'all know who that is? Feed Me More? Ring a bell? Skip Sheffield. Good God. I think he came from Tough Enough, actually. But obviously became Ryback and now is doing his own podcast and doing well for himself. Darren Young. Heath Slater. Biggest thing Heath Slater ever had going on, obviously, was I Got Kids with Rhino and the whole Cheese Whiz and going to the trailer. That's probably where the height of his career was. Justin Gabriel. That's who John Cena suggested was gay, that he has the alternative lifestyle. Go look it up. I'm not making this up. David Otunga, now commentator. CM Punk. Now, I say CM Punk with a big asterisk, because he joined after the new Nexus was formed. He was not part of the original group. CM Punk joined as an already established star, so he's not a star that came out of the group. He's a star that joined the group. And then, obviously, Wade Barrett. And yes, he ended up developing another group called The Core, which went absolutely nowhere. He's a great leader. A great leader. Great on the mic. And yes, he also had the Bad News Barrett. That had some steam and a little bit of momentum behind it, too. And he couldn't stay healthy. He had several injuries, and that was that. And off he went. But if you look at the original group, Wade Barrett, David Otunga, Justin Gabriel, Heath Slater, Darren Young, Skip Sheffield, Daniel Bryan, although he was fired and then rehired, and Michael Tarver, those were the original. Eventually, John Cena doesn't count because he was never truly a part of the Nexus, even though he was contractually obligated to join them. Husky Harris and Michael McGillicuddy joined shortly thereafter, and Mason Ryan. Again, the biggest stars that were built from, or that were results of this group, Daniel Bryan, and that was not even on purpose. That was a complete accident. That was by the fans' own will that happened. Daniel Bryan was never, ever slated for the position he's in now. And had he not actually done that to Justin Roberts, gotten fired, and the fans caught wind of it, and Shawn Michaels brought him back, the fans, I don't know, would have been so behind Daniel Bryan. Some knew who he was from the independent scene. Some didn't. But the fans were behind him because of the silly reason that he got fired. In part, of course. But it's just funny that had he not gotten fired, maybe the fans wouldn't have been so behind him, and his career would have never taken off the way it did. But again, we'll never know. But so Michael Tarver, gone. Skip Sheffield, a.k.a. Ryback, gone. Darren Young, gone. He's Slater. Here and there. Slater is still employed by WWE, but in a very limited capacity. Justin Gabriel, gone. David Otunga, commentary. Wade Barrett, gone. Mason Ryan, gone. Michael McGillicuddy, gone. Husky Harris. Okay. You could say that was a star, but not on purpose, not under the Husky Harris character. But he was a star and is maybe the biggest single star WWE has right now outside of Brock Lesnar. So John Cena burying the Nexus, again, that seems to be the central theme here. The short answer is yes. But John Cena didn't do it on his own. It was just all about John Cena at this time. It was John Cena. What's next for John Cena? What are we doing with Cena? CM Punk even said that in his podcast with Colt Cabana when he came out. After he left the company and said, that the company doesn't really look beyond Cena. Well, and CM Punk would always say that Vince would say, what's next for Cena? What are we doing with Cena? What's next for Cena? And I believe it because here are the results. Did we have some stars come out of this group? Yes, we did. but not on purpose and not with nearly their characters that they have now. So they were all by accident and all fan driven. And that's a damn shame, considering some of the talent that's on this roster or in this original group, because the purpose of a faction, the purpose of even tag teams, you could say, is to make them big singles stars. That is the reason you put people together. The reason you put them together is to make them fall apart at the proper time. That is the reason you put people together. That is the reason that you create factions. And honestly, when is the last time you even saw a true faction? Tell me. OC, I would say more. I would say it has to be more than three. OC is not really a faction. Give me a real faction. It's a lost art in today's WWE environment. Easy to do, easy to assemble, but you got to have a plan for them. And they usually have to be a heel group, because then they can have the numbers game at their advantage and beat down the babyface and beat down the babyface until he finds a couple of friends and maybe they still get beat down. I mean, it's good psychology. Put five good heels together. And I'm not saying do what they did with the League of Nations, where on paper it looks great. Oh my God, this is awesome. Look at these stars. We'll call them League of Nations. And it was a complete disaster because they didn't have any on-screen chemistry at all. So that would be my advice. Factions. They're made to build stars inside the faction, inside the actual group itself. And it's also made to build baby faces to come against them, to try to take them down. And then band together to try to take them down. And create new alliances and new breakups. It's a great cycle to have. And it creates personal issues, which is what WWE is always looking for. And honestly, what sells a lot of the time. It's not always about championships, although that should be the reason everyone is there, if asked. But personal rivalries, personal issues are always at the top of the list for good programs. So that's what I think about the Nexus. And I've never really discussed it. I mean, honestly, that is something I have not done in quite a while, almost ever, talk about the Nexus. And they're almost a forgotten group, which is a damn shame, considering what happened to them and literally got buried by John Cena. Or at least he was the one that was scripted anyway, that was told to take them out to build John Cena. It was a sacrifice of many for the benefit of one. That's what this was. So I like that. That's a good saying. But anyway, guys, thanks so much for joining me today. I hope that those of you listening enjoy this live format. I haven't done this in quite some time. I will continue to do it. And especially after, as I said, breaking news, pay-per-views, and occasionally maybe during the week, I'll do a live show. You can always call in. Again, the number, which is not going to change, is 516-531-9619. That is the number, and it will always be the number forever. So you can keep that number and put it in your contacts and just press 1 when you call in, and you'll be able to get on the switchboard and get on the line. So, all right. Well, guys, I want to thank you for joining me again. It's Thursday, but I'll be back on Saturday, and then I'll be back on Sunday. So a double dip again. And later tonight, I'll be publishing the NXT review show for my other co-host, Chris. So you have a lot more shows to go with us as we get closer and closer to Survivor Series and maybe closer to this. All right, guys, I had to leave that with you. Hope you enjoy it. Have a good night.